Peter Cardillo is chief market economist at Spartan Capital. He rejoins us this morning to talk about what's coming up in the markets. And boy, oh boy, Peter, is it a busy week ahead. Welcome back and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let's start where we probably should, which is the Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee meeting the next couple of days. Expectations seem to be pretty consistent now, growing, that the Fed will reduce rates by a quarter of a point. Janet Yellen, even speaking today, I think it was today, at Aspen Conference here in Colorado, saying that she believes that the Fed should move forward with a quarter point rate reduction. What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, we're headed for a quarter of a point reduction. I was somewhat reluctant, but after some of the comments from some of the Fed speakers, and that is over the past 2 weeks, and of course, Janet Yellen confirming that basically this morning, it's obvious that a 25 basis point cut is now in play. I recently wrote in my commentary that there was a slight chance that perhaps the Fed may stay on hold. But obviously, some of the hints that came out of the ECB, Mario Draghi himself, last week sort of suggest that the Fed is going to pull the trigger before the ECB does. And so I think that was sort of like, I don't want to say a confirmation, but certainly a strong hint that he expected the Fed to cut by 25 basis points. Obviously, the market is now adjusting to that. Prior to this, we had a market that was that had built in a 50%, a half of a percent decline. Obviously, if you look at what happened in the debt market, we saw yields actually tick back up with the 10-year slight back up towards that 206, 207. We're just a little under 205 this morning. So they're basically factoring in a 25 basis point. The question is, what does the Fed do after this? The Fed has been certainly under strong pressure by the White House, and of course, we have easier money coming out of China and, of course, the ECB as well. And so the question is, do they cut further this year or do they stay pat? I suspect that if we continue to see a strong job market, by the way, I think on Friday we're probably looking at jobs growth somewhere with in the vicinity of 130,000 to 140,000 new jobs created, and that's obviously off of that strong previous month data. And I think the reason for that is that during the month of June, we had a lot of newcomers entering the workforce, and of course, jobs are plentiful, and you also had the part-time workers that contributed to that number. So I think we could see a decline, but that doesn't really signal any major shift in the labor market. So until we get that, you know, I think the Fed is not going to be as generous as perhaps the market thinks, or as perhaps the White House would want it to be.
Well, I would say that fine, if you're going to give them a quarter point reduction, go ahead and do it, but then stay pat. I don't think that even the quarter point reduction is going to have any real effect on the economy. You and I have talked about this before. I think it is overstated. Even Janet Yellen saying we're part of the global economy. What happens in the rest of the world in Europe and Asia affects the United States, and that's part of a justification in her mind for reducing by a quarter of a point again. I don't think that that makes much of a difference, but fine, send your signal to markets that you're not going to be continuing to raise rates, do this reduction, and then just keep it there for a good long while.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think, you know, they're going to signal the market that they're going to rate unless we have a major turn in inflation, and that doesn't seem to be in the cards at all. So, you know, we have oil prices that are stuck in the mid-50 range, certainly not going anywhere in the short term, and that's not a threat. We have agricultural prices that have gone up, but again, that's transitory inflation, so we wouldn't put too much into that. And the big thing is that while wages are creeping higher, they're going at a very modest rate. And so, you know, there's no real inflation threat out there. I just don't see anything that could change that course. And so it's not a question of inflation. In fact, you know, probably the greatest fear that China and Europe is looking at is a renewed deflationary affairs. Prices are just stuck and can't really go much higher.
Peter Cardillo, again, our guest here on Business for Breakfast. Okay, let's talk about U.S.-China trade. Those talks are resuming this week once again, although the bar has been set lower. Even the Trump administration, President Trump, Larry Kudlow, setting expectations that are more modest than before. Two questions for you, Peter Cardillo. Number one, do you think we get much out of this week's negotiations? And number two, do you think President Trump really does want a deal? Or do you think that maybe, just maybe, he no longer has real interest in a deal?
No, he wants a deal. I'm going to answer the second part of the question. He wants a deal. He needs a deal if he wants to get reelected. And so I think this is a political mask, you might say. As we get closer to the elections, we'll get some sort of a deal. Again, I'm going to repeat what I've been saying for months now, that a deal is coming, perhaps maybe later than I anticipated, but a deal will come. And I think a deal is going to come not as the White House would want it to be, but there'll be some sort of a deal. They'll be able to walk around it and put a happy face towards the deal and saying is exactly what we wanted. I don't think that's going to be the case. China is holding firm, and I suspect that they will, even though the Chinese economy has certainly cooled down, and the possibility of cooling even further is certainly in the cards. And I think that what China can do now is to stimulate even more at a faster pace, and that will avoid a hard landing. And as long as we don't get a hard landing in China, then I think the Chinese can continue to hold firm.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago, Peter Cardillo, about agricultural prices rising some, but that it is transitory inflation. I wonder, though, let's say that this trade war negotiations do get prolonged and the trade war doesn't go away for a while longer. How transitory, then, the agricultural price rise really is? Because I would argue that a large reason for it is because of what we're seeing going on with the China trade war, in addition to the environmental issues in the Midwest. I mean, even to the point where you're seeing the federal government putting out $16 billion more in a new program of subsidies to agricultural firms and farmers and what have you. So how transitory is that, really? Is that the appropriate phrase if the trade war drags on?
Well, of course, if the trade war were to drag on for a year or two, obviously that you wouldn't consider that inflation transitory anymore, because it would obviously make its way into the economy.
Yes.
And so they would be sticking prices. But again, I don't see that happening. I believe that as we get closer to the elections, you're going to get some sort of a trade deal. Mm-hmm. So that means, by year end, first quarter of next year,
sure,
I think a deal will be struck. And so that agricultural price rise that we have would probably, be considered null and void. And we could see, you know, prices adjust again.
I certainly hope you're right that we do find resolution here by the beginning of first quarter of next year, Peter Cardillo. Okay, what do you make of what's going on in the market? On Friday, we had a modest day of rises overall for the Dow, and well, I guess the S&P was up about 0.75%, the NASDAQ over a little bit over 1%, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 0.2%, but right now we're essentially flat on the market. Where do you view the stock market? Where are equities at today?
Oh, I think the market is probably going to continue to do well during the remainder of the summer. My target for the S&P is somewhere between 31-31.50. I think, you know, it's all about the fundamentals. And the fundamentals of the market right now, which the key fundamental, I should say, earnings are coming in better than we expected. It no longer appears that we're going to lose maybe 3-4% on S&P earnings. So we can come in less than that, and that would be considered a good earnings season. And I think it's all about the earnings. And another important factor is that we continue to see M&A. Certainly that's a good sign in terms of the stock market.
Mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah, that exactly. So if these deals continue and we've been getting a lot of IPOs, that is a strong voice of, shall we say, of confidence.
Sure.
And I think that's a reason, another reason to be hopeful that the market can continue on this path. Of course, somewhere along the line, we're going to get a pullback. We might be even headed for a correction, but I don't think it's going to happen during the summer months.
Peter, right now I'm seeing the 10-year Treasury yield at 2.051%, down a bit this morning, but the 3-month yield is rising some at 2.125%. Where do you see bonds right now?
That's a bit of an inversion, wouldn't you say? I think we're probably going to level off around this area. Like I said, 25 basis point cut obviously is now baked into the market. A lot depends on the Fed's language, and if the Fed, you know, should indicate that they're going to take a wait and see attitude after this number, which I think they will, then you might see the 10-year back up to around 2.10. But it shouldn't. I don't think it'll go much beyond that. If, on the other hand, we're wrong about the Fed taking a wait-and-see attitude and may indicate another rate cut by year-end, then there's a good possibility that we could see the 10-year get back under that 2%.
I want to play a clip just as we wrap up with you, Peter Cardillo, and get your reaction here. Talking about the volatility index, up about half a point this morning at 12.69. In cut one, it's Van Henrik with Northman Trader on CNBC talking about the volatility index.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah,
very good point about the VIX being kind of in low range during summers. We have seen that a lot in the last few years. But, you know, there's a common misconception, and that is one cannot chart the VIX. And we actually find in our work that you can. In fact, the VIX follows some very specific patterns that show compression. And this compression, if you look back to, let's say, the last few years, we've seen a large compression pattern from 2016 to 2017. And then this builds up with lower highs and lower lows. And ultimately, a lot of energy gets built up. And when that energy compresses too much, and we see these spikes, and we have seen these spikes with quite a bit of regularity, but they always need some sort of trigger, and perhaps the Fed may be the trigger next week, but they may not yet. I mean, this is always the challenge in these low summer months.
Just curious as to your thoughts on that and where you see the volatility index, the so-called fear gauges, heading over the rest of the summer.
I would say it's probably going to stay stuck within this range. Mm-hmm. There's a good possibility that we could see it get up to 15, 16 around that area, possibly even 20, but not much beyond that. Look, there's no fear in the market yet. And during the course of this year so far, we've seen the VIX spike up. as high as 25, and at one point, I think even 30. Mm-hmm. Back.
It went for 50 one day.
So, you know, and look where we are now. 1269, 1270, just about, you know, the low end of this range. So I wouldn't put too much into that.
All right. Peter Cardillo with Spartan Capital. Always great to check in with you, sir. Thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.